You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. And welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Erik ten Hag leaves a lot of questions unanswered after Man United are routed 3-0 by Man City in a one-sided Manchester derby. Tottenham's title hopes begin to bloom as they top the table following a Friday night 2-1 win at Crystal Palace. Eddie Nketiah plays hat-trick hero in the absence of Gabriel Jesus as Arsenal serve a 5-0 thumping to Sheffield United. And Chelsea come back down to earth with a 2-0 loss at home to Brentford ahead of a difficult run of fixtures. All that and more in this week's episode.
OK, my friend, only one place to start. It was Old Trafford. It was the Manchester derby. It was ETH versus PEP. I think I'm going to start you off with a line. Dallow, Maguire, Evans, Lindelof. Away you go.
Well, let me start. I'll go back to you and say on people on the bench, Mason Mount, Sergio Reguilón, left back, Anthony, and Rafael Varane. I think what we're getting at, Rob, is that Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire were selected by Erik ten Hag to be the starting centre-backs when they could have picked Lindelof and Varane.
Wow. And Reguilón could have been left back.
Which is more of a, you know, when you sign these players, that's what you expect them to play. So very different from Erik ten Hag, Rob. And just quickly in terms of what he did, you know, he was asked about that at the start of the game because it was kind of headlines.
Yeah,
it was kind
of headlines.
Wow, you're going to play, you know, this 35-year-old Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire.
Yes, Erling Haaland.
And he was asked, and it wasn't about anybody playing midweek or having a knock. It was, that was his tactic for the day. The midfield had Christian Eriksen, Amrabat, Bruno and McTominay in kind of a diamond. Tominay playing kind of high. It was different out of possession. They went more into a 4-2-3-1. It did mean in that diamond shape that Rashford played closer to Rasmus Højlund. Anyway, all that being said, City was City. They won the game 3-0. But let's
go back to tactics. Yeah, then. Let's start there, because that was the big question. And I think the reporter said, you know, your choices, what is it? And he went tactics and asked again tactics. So he obviously had put store into selection, I'm assuming training drills, understanding your roles. I believe it was set up to slow City down, to put numbers in midfield, to overload them in a central area with the diamond, which I think we slightly disagreed in terms that I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was horrific. I thought the time they slowed them down, they didn't. You don't stop City having as many looks and goal as you would have liked, but I kind of understood at least he tried something. In the end, it didn't really work, and they got opened up. And as they try to chase it, you know, City can really hurt you, as we know. But my question more is towards Rob, a little bit of consistency. Like Rafael Varane, you buy him, he's Champions League winner, World Cup winner, and all the things we know, and a winner. We've talked about his importance in the dressing room, and you don't play him, which is your choice, and I understand you might be...
Side note, he started with Maguire on Tuesday in the Champions League, where they kept a clean sheet. I mean, it's FC Cabernet.
Maguire and Varane,
That's Tuesday. This is Sunday. So it's enough day to recover
from Varane. A little bit of... And then a change of system, and then a change of thing. And part of me is kind of getting to... There's no consistency about this thing at the moment. I mean, some different players, and that's fine, and every player, manager rotates or picks or thing, but I just don't see any joined up consistent thinking planning.
He's trying to is trying to affect this game the best he can, Rob,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And like you, I appreciate a manager that tries something different to try mm-hmm. and gain a certain advantage. The tactic in this game from him was to say they're probably going to have more possession, which yeah. is probably right.
Yeah.
Maybe it shouldn't be, by the way. Mm. This is Manchester United. Anyway, but he did play Rashford and Hoyland together yeah. where they were pacing behind. Mm-hmm. The thought being that Christian Eriksen and Bruno Fernandes at times will they'll be the beneficiaries of a transition yeah. and they'll dink the ball over. They're brilliant at doing. Some yeah. of the best in the league,
yeah.
you'd have to say. Bruno hitting those balls in behind yeah. for Rashford. Yeah. And we did see that a few times in the mm-hmm. first half.
Yeah, we had
another cynical side, Rob, could me and you could sit down, by the way. I don't think we should do it now. We could pick a very, very different team.
We could pick a very different team. Yeah.
You know, and whether that is, you know, McTominay's an important player. Would we play him as number 10? I mean, yeah, he's a goal threat, but I like his physicality mm-hmm. defensively. Bruno could have played in that. But I mean, there's tons of different ways he could yeah. do it. Again, fair play. He tried something different to mm-hmm. try and affect it. But I think, you know, most observers, Rob, and pundits and, you know, I guess, fans and, yeah. and neutrals did see the quality difference.
Let me give you Aston Villa as an example, Rob. And I'm not saying, you know, Aston Villa sit, what, fifth in the table? Not good win today. Unai Emery has a structure to his team that we see, attacking and defending. Yeah. Not always winning games, not always, but it's pretty set.
It's very, very set.
And the players know what is happening and what to expect and what their roles are.
Right.
Of the top eight teams in the league, every other team has got a system, a structure, a way of playing, apart from Manchester United.
Well, I'm just going down the list.
They've all got a way of playing that can win you, lose you, or draw your games. But they've got something, an identity of how they play. And I'll go to the point of Mason Mount wasn't involved today. Mason Mount hasn't been brilliant for Manchester United, but Mason Mount lacks structure. In a team with structure, Mason Mount is a very, very capable footballer.
Yeah, he is.
But with a team with no structure, he looks like a player that's not very good.
Why doesn't the manager... I mean, he needs minutes. He needs games. He needs to play. He needs a role.
But he also needs a role.
They pay him a reported fortune in terms yeah. of salary, and yet, you know, he sits on the bench with other players that you might have thought would have had a go in this game. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
so how has in this time Unai Emery in a year put a structure in place that's got some consistency?
Look at the guy who's top of the league.
And yeah, which is even a bigger point. But you know, Unai Emery goes in, works a certain way, he's got structure. Eric Ten Hag's been in, I think, 6 months longer than Emery, but we can't quite see what he's doing.
1,000,000%. I'm quickly going to, because I think it's a brilliant point. Spurs, I could tell you right now how they're going to play. Mm. Arsenal, yes, of course. Mm. Man City, yes, of course. Yeah. Liverpool, yes, of course. Yeah. Aston Villa, you just said it. Yeah. Newcastle, yeah, we know how they play. 4-3-3, power, yeah. use the midfield players, you know, energy, got that. Brighton, yes, amazing. Yeah. Man United, don't know. Yeah. West Ham United, kind of know.
Yeah,
kind of know.
What they're trying to do, yeah.
Brentford, no. Chelsea, yeah, not really yet. Wolves, starting to figure it out from Gary O'Neill, brilliantly. And then Fulham, yes. Everton.
Yeah, but we're down the wrong end of the table.
Yeah, no. So you make a good point. I don't know what... Man United, it just seems to have lost his way, Rob,
this season. Is part of that... It's a good point. Is part of that the size of... Can you get lost at Man United? Can the size of the club... Can all this stuff going on about takeover, about, you know, Jadon Sancho, about Antony, about Garnacho, about all... There's a lot going on at that football club.
There is. And that might be the answer to the question I want to ask you, because I ask myself it.
Yeah.
What the heck has happened since last year when we were saying good things? A lot of people and everybody in the UK, all the big pundits, all the big former United players, we've got a manager now.
Yeah,
we've got a manager now. Let's sit back and see what he can do. I mean, we're only 10 games in, but talk about like five steps backwards from the steps they made last year. And that's the $1 million. What the heck has happened? It's all those things then?
Yeah. Well, some of those players who we thought more of have not. Casemiro's not delivered.
So Marcus Rashford papered over a ton of cracks, maybe.
Yeah, and Marcus Rashford probably dropped down to a level now that they're not seeing. Martial's, you know, where are we going to get goals from? We spend $70 million on Hoyland. I feel sorry for the kid.
Yeah, I did too.
He's in a team that has got no structure. He doesn't know where the goals are going to come from. He does a lot of things on his own just to try and make it happen. Mm. It, 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 it's it's gone backwards. It doesn't feel as though... And it makes a big thing, you know, Ten Hag about, well, United, we've got a spirit.
We're going in the right direction.
That doesn't come across, kind of I've got to be honest. And it's not believable when I listen to him. And I wonder if I'm a player sitting in the dressing room, do I believe it then?
I'm not going to mention the name of manager that I had, Rob, that came in with such an incredible philosophy, game plan. We're this, we're that, you are this, you are great. Look at how great we are. And we're like, we ain't, really.
Yeah.
And after a while, that kind of false confidence that we were trying to instill, that ain't working.
Yeah.
Why get confidence from doing it?
Yeah. And results
done
and
it.
Things. And,
wow.
Yeah.
That, not by saying how good you are.
Yeah.
You're this midfield player. Mm. So is there a little bit of that where his words are not really coinciding? And to be fair, Rob, we saw it from day one, first weekend of the season, where we watched the game. They were very lucky to get the result
against Wolves.
And we sat 5 yards from him, and I asked him the question.
Yeah.
Well, we all asked him the question. It was kind of like, yeah, we played okay. Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, well, no,
you didn't.
You didn't.
You
really.
Got outplayed by Wolves.
And what people love about Ange Postecoglou is that so far, and maybe it's, you know, they're winning and all's all good. I think he's an honest bloke.
Yeah.
Fans see through all this.
Standards.
All our listeners and everybody, they know football now, and they want an honest answer. And Eric might have been like, you know what, today, we're trying our best. I tried a few things. You know, I think Evans has been playing well with Maguire. Wanted to stick with that. Lindelof's looked good at left back. We worried about their right side. You know, just be honest and say, you know, we tried to work on transitions, and we want to be a great transitional team. We're fit. We're, you know, the strike.
Yeah.
Give
there's
us
nothing
a bit
wrong
more
with that.
Honesty.
There's nothing wrong
instead
with
of the
that.
Fluffy kind of. I don't know whether he's kind of
played quite well in
everybody.
The first half. Yeah, I mean it's difficult. And let's not forget, Rob. There was a dubious penalty in the first half that changed the outlook of the game.
Right. Yeah.
And we have to go. We have to discuss that. Hoyland seems to have a hand on Rodri. Rodri goes to ground. The ball's not in vicinity to play. The on-field referee allows it to play.
Didn't see it. Yeah, or allowed it.
We're sort of told from sources, PGMOL and VAR, that they thought there was something for the referee to look at. So the referee goes over to the monitor, takes a look at it, decides that it was deemed a foul by Hoyland on Rodri, and a penalty kick is given. Now, again, I think we both kind of came from the same place in that if you're asking, is it a foul in the box? The simple answer would be technically
if
yes.
If that happens in the middle of the park, if Robbio runs by me and I just reach around and prohibit his progress, it's foul.
Unless you're Canute and you don't, well, it's a foul or you don't get a yellow card, but
<You're absolutely right. laughs>
I'm dropped that
but
one.
But in a penalty box, when we're right next to each other, that happens. There's people moving around. You have to.
That happens on a regular basis. Now, my problem was the inconsistencies of, if we're going to give that, and listen, if that's okay with him, give every one of those though. Every time we see one, give them. Then we all know we can't put our hands on. But there'll be one next week, Rob. That's probably worse than that. That will be. We'll just move on.
I'll give you an example, Rob. It was if Edison caught the ball from a cross in.
Mm.
And before he released it, he had it for 8 seconds, and the referee blew the whistle.
Yeah, yeah, and we go like, what? Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You only.
But that happens all the time.
Correct.
You know, maybe not as obvious as that, but it's a rule that the pulling and there's a little bit of.
There's a little bit of give. There should be a little bit give in that.
Let me say, is VAR making us worse in terms of. Because nobody. It happened today, and nobody. Yeah.
It was the odd. I mean, Rodri throws, come on, ref. But that's one of them. We've all done it. We've all done it, mate. It's happened to you, and you've done it. Yeah.
We're in the studio, we're like, what?
Yeah, and we keep hearing there's a check here.
Like, what they found now, it's just, I think it's getting way too involved to a point where I'm really starting to think, is it worse?
Yeah, I've said before, we'd be better off without it, bro. Yeah. We'd be absolutely better off without it
right
now. But
we can go that on
wasn't,
about,
yeah, that
we
wasn't,
go,
VAR wasn't the reason
but
that Manchester United.
That was a really harsh call.
And it changes maybe half time, I guess, to 0-0 and maybe different way of approaching the second half. But they go one down, Haaland scores from the penalty kick. And then second half, to be honest, Rob, they got schooled a little bit.
We've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's United, they drop their heads a little bit.
Yeah.
They're chasing the ball around.
It's tough.
You're pinging it around. Yeah. It's like, I know, I've been there. I know what it's like to be chasing shadows. It's blimmin' horrible. And then they go into another gear. Haaland scores again. First one penalty, of course. Gets its header. Phil Foden then scores to make it 3-0, I think, on the 80th minute. Closing up on United, Rob, it ain't nothing different we're saying every week at the moment.
No.
And I just think, for me, let's see how he goes now. There's no point in getting crazy about this with a manager. Let's give him a chance
to turn it around. I think where he's at, Rob, is in a reasonably fortunate position. Manchester United aren't looking to sack this guy.
No.
They're going to give him as much time as he can. So he's now got to start thinking about what's going to happen in the long term and start putting the building blocks in place to start building something for long term. Because if he doesn't do that, he will find himself out of a job.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was allowed a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree that the guy should be given time.
Yeah.
But there does come to
a point,
if there's no progression,
yeah.
instead of saying, oh, we've got to give him 3 years now, yeah. or whatever it is, that's what I'm all about. I'm about progression and direction. And if it's going down, and if we're sat here having this conversation, Rob, in March,
April, yeah, in mid-table, out the Champions League.
Then they've got to be looking to find the guy. Because there is a guy out there,
Rob. Do you know the more I think about it as well, and listen, debate for another day, because Man United at the moment's a whole podcast on its own. If you're a new ownership, Rob, and believe coming in with football and sporting understanding, might you just go, might want to get my guy, who's going to work my way in a different system. Everyone talks about Jim Ratcliffe and coming in, he's only 25%, and da-da-da. He also looks a guy like to me that might...
He's going to change.
He ain't coming to this football club just to let it go. Most groups that come in to own a football club like to bring their guy.
Well, the example right now is, and I'm not saying it's going brilliantly, Chelsea. That's an example of absolute ripped it all up.
Yeah.
New ownership, wiped out everybody. Mm. And they've started again. Man United need something similar. Because how long, a full reboot of the whole lot.
Wow. Well,
how long are we going to keep talking since we've been doing this with NBC since 2013 with Sir Alex Ferguson?
But a reboot is a 2 to 3 year clear out, start, rebuild.
Another example. I've said this before. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself here. Arsenal rebooted.
Yeah.
Edu came in.
Yeah.
Mikel Arteta. All those that other squad out. The Unai Emery squad and the David Luizes and the Aubameyangs. Everybody else. That took maybe a year and a half.
Yeah,
maybe.
18 months. Yeah.
Young players. Yeah. Signings. Wow, that's different. Newcastle United a little different. Any others that kind of rebooting have changed a lot? I mean, Tottenham, half the team is different. So, yeah, the recruitment is so, so important, Robert. Mm. If they don't start signing players that can really make an impact and not your stopgaps.
Yeah.
United have signed stopgaps and expensive wingers that haven't done anything in the last 2 or 3 years. To try and, listen, again, let's not go on and on about Manchester United. We know the problems they've got. All I want to say to Ten Hag is, let's give him a chance. Let's give him a chance to turn around again. It's only 10 games. Good season last year. Progression. Let's see if he can, at some point in the next few weeks or months, get him back on the right path.
A little line on City as well, because we do deserve
to. Don't need much, because they're a bloody amazing.
Amazing team. I just thought today, Rob, all week since the Champions League, I felt Pep had a little poke, like, I want to show why we're treble winners. I want to, people to see. He talked about Grealish, how important he is in big games. I just felt like it was one of those days where he sniffed out Pep. Right, I need to just let my group know. Time to kick on now.
He ain't got to do a lot with him, Rob, has he? We chatted about this.
Yeah.
When I look at him now, and I know this was comfortable, and I know this.
How long has he been there now? Is it six, seven years?
Is it?
Yeah.
It's
all in place, isn't it?
The machine's working.
The machine's working.
I've never seen him so relaxed and enjoying things. Mm. Maybe on the back of a treble, of course, but it doesn't look like he has to do a lot now. Lead up to his game, he talked about, I'm just looking to see their mentality.
Yeah.
If their mentality is right, he's got permutations of players and systems grooved off in his head that he can go to at any point.
But he gets most of them right, doesn't he? I mean, Grealish and Doku today. I thought Doku would start today. And then he goes Grealish, who plays his part. Doku comes on later on.
Six changes today, Rob.
Yeah.
And you'd never know anything was different from the last game to the last game. His work has been done years ago.
Yeah.
And he's tweaking with new players coming in, Doku's and the Nunes and Guardiola, that looks a brilliant defender, by the way, at 21 years of age. Yeah, I just can't see anybody touching them this year, Rob. No. I know I flip-flop a little bit. I love to back Arsenal at the start of season or, in, you know, then the window closes. Like, I don't know. Is anybody going
to
be?
It looks like City's again to me.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's move it on to Selhurst Park. Tottenham Hotspur facing a Crystal Palace team on Friday night. You and Danny working on this one. I watched at home. And unbeaten Tottenham away at Palace. You're thinking, oh, you know, Palace got beat recently. And you're thinking Roy Hodgson and Palace can be a difficult place to go a Friday night. But Ange does it again. Ange ball comes through again.
Yeah, I loved it. I really enjoyed the game, Rob. I really enjoyed the game. Really enjoyed what Spurs did at half-time to try and change things. Because at half-time, it's like, this is difficult. We know Roy Hodgson's tactics.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace have got plenty of hard-working players out there. They're missing their Eze's and their Elise.
Yeah.
So they're a little down on flair. But they had tons of effort and energy. And Lerma and Decore and Schlupp and IU and Will Hughes.
Yeah,
how about that
for
five hard-working midfield players? Yeah. Protection was good. They were narrow. They allowed Spurs a little bit more space in the wide areas, which wasn't utilised in the first half for Tottenham, or not very much. Second half, they did.
He had Ben Davies in the team, because Udogie, I think, had got a bit of a knock, and he thought it was a game to rest him. Yeah. Ben Davies doesn't quite give you that same dynamic play.
He had a little something as well. Apparently, a report said he had a little something. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But he made a change, Emerson, into that midfield area from fullback. And I just thought, Rob, and those out there, again, I always say this because I know it can get a little bit dry, the tactical side of things, but I just noticed that Pap Sarr in the second half was definitely playing on the right. Because he, in effect, he's alongside Ibrahim, right? But when they push in Emerson in there, it really shoved him outside as if, like, we got to do more in the wide areas.
Yeah, make more use of it.
In the middle. And it was James Maddison that did the same on the left. I just felt that they focus more on the wide areas, and the goal came from the right side. Pap Sarr gets in behind, overload on that side.
Yeah.
It's flashed across for the
James
first goal.
James Maddison won it, Ward own goal.
Yeah, the Ward own goal. And then, you know, the one player that I wanted to see more of was Richarlison.
Yeah.
Richarlison. Mm. And
yeah,
he ain't quite happened yet for him. And it didn't again. But Brennan Johnson
is
a good signing.
Absolutely.
He comes on, ball in the wide area, heads it in, plays and follows. A really lovely goal from Spurs. So my headline here was, patience was there. The groove nature of the team is pretty amazing, given the short period of time. But also the subtle changes. And if you're Ange Postecoglou, Rob, and you've been doing this style for flipping seasons and different clubs and national teams, and you've seen
kinda
this
know
stuff
it,
before.
It's Pep's position, isn't it? Like, I know this. I know what this
know
is about.
And it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't love that? I'm just... You know me, mate. I love a man with a plan.
Yeah.
And I love the beautiful game a little bit. I'm a little bit of a snob that way. So, right. And I like a flippin' honest, genuine manager who speaks like a bloke on the street and a football fan.
Yeah.
So, at the moment, I couldn't love Tottenham anymore. The way that they're doing things, and I get it. People, you know, I read some of my social media, most of it. Oh, it's a matter of time. You're going to see Tottenham.
Yeah.
And that might be so.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, they are grooving.
Yeah.
And their bench isn't bad. by the way.
Yeah, it's deeper than you think, isn't it? Bentancur came back, didn't he? Yeah.
And he's a silky player. Mm. He could fit in that midfield as well. So are they this season's Leicester City / Arsenal of having a run, a title run?
Yeah, but I wouldn't quite put them in Leicester City. I think a bit Arsenal, more Arsenal.
For last year?
For last year,
like,
yeah.
They
are... One, I think they've brought something to the top end of the table. Got to respect them now. They're in the title race after 10 games. And if we're getting this... If we get the other side of Christmas and they're still in the similar position, They're right in it, my friend.
They've got no League Cup, I believe. They're out. They're no European football.
Yeah, they're out League Cup, aren't they? Yeah. No European football.
They're Saturday
to
Saturday, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
If they don't get many injuries,
Sonny gets injured or Madison gets injured, big problem.
But let's just say they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can rest.
Like Leicester did when we kept saying.
They
people
can prepare
kept
week to week.
Yeah.
There isn't... I mean, what we're seeing right now, they're scoring a ton of goals. What's their goal difference? Yeah, plus 13. They scored 22.
Yeah.
I mean, they can have a run, Rob, can't they?
They can. They can. I mean, it's going to be like everybody's going to say, as soon as they lose one, what happens then? And that's what everybody in football can't wait. And this guy absolutely will have the answers for it. You know, he'll have the right responses, his team will be right. But it's just refreshing that in 10 Premier League games, somebody can go into a football club and do what he's doing.
Incredible.
And right now, and I've not always been as maybe complimentary to James Maddison.
Haven't you?
I've always liked him, but I've not been as hot as... he's probably the signing of the season.
Brilliant, yeah.
I mean, gone to another level, absolutely another level of football.
Let me chuck you another signing of the season and my underappreciated performer of the weekend. And I'll tell you what, I could have many of these Spurs players. I want to do Mickey van der Ven again, but I can't.
No,
it's not him.
No.
But some of the recovery runs from this guy. Please, everybody out there,
Van der Ven, you're talking
Van der Ven, what did I say? Van der somebody else.
No.
So Mickey Van der Ven, the new central defender, he's like 6'4", isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the quickest defender I've seen for a long, long time. Watch him play. He's 22.
Dutch
he is a star. Yeah. He's going to be an absolute star. My underappreciated, Guillermo Vicario, the Italian goalkeeper.
We know he's Italian now, too. Guillermo Vicario.
Probably killed that
person.
Under the radar. Makes great saves. We ain't talking about him making mistakes with his feet. No. I mean, some of the saves he made even in this game. I mean, it's a very, very good signing. And it's like, I'll go back to Leicester again. You have to make spectacular signings to win.
Yeah.
And they made some in Mahrez and Kante and they had Jamie Vardy, etc., etc. When you've got Mickey van der Ven, you've got a goalkeeper like Vicario, they've got James Maddison. They're spectacular.
Basuma's almost like a new signing.
Yeah, they're like spectacular signings to give him a chance. So again,
good shot.
Again, people watching Spurs... Just watch
an upgrade from Hugo Lloris and what we were doing.
Really,
you know, Hugo Lloris has been a brilliant captain to
champion,
the football club.
A world champion.
But last year or so, one or two things have been going past him that were questioned. This fellow looks right
he
on
does.
It. And I tell you what, I've liked a couple of social media where he's really into it, Rob. He's celebrating with the team. It means a lot to him.
Yeah.
He's got something going there, Ange.
Italians are great pros. In my experience, Italians are, I mean, the best in terms of professional. So he's 27 years of age. Long career at Spurs.
Not a great day for Palace. Are you with a goal late on that at least made it a little bit more respectable, but not a great day. Let's move it on to the Emirates. Arsenal faced bottom of the table, Sheffield United. There was a few surprises in the Arsenal lineup, Rob, wasn't there? There was no Odegaard.
Yep.
There's no Jesus. We knew he had a knock. Obviously, Partey was out. One or two players in the team that we might not have expected, and people were sort of, I think Rebecca asked us both, didn't she, like, you know, is he okay rotating in this position? Do we feel that Mikel Arteta's not taking any gambles? Smith Rowe came in.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant.
Tomiyasu.
Kai Havertz come back in to have a go.
Kai Havertz,
the team is the bottom of the league table, Rob. They've got a ton of injuries.
Well, it's perfect time.
Perfect time to get some players some minutes. Mm. Perfect time to rotate. We said it lots of times that, you know, that level in Champions League and going from there to the Premier League is not easy. It was perfect. And given the opponents, I thought he got it absolutely right. The result was a brilliant 5-0 victory. Yeah. Eddie Nketiah, Rob, and I, They're always the same. There's something about strikers where I say something in the studio, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what. I'd love to see Trossard play as a nine. I really like Trossard. Of course, Nkedia's selected, hat-trick. And I say this, and he bangs in a hat-trick. So that's kind of typical and par for the course. Mm. But I do like Eddie Nketiah. I love the craft of Leandro Trossard. But this was a good game for Eddie Nketiah, and he's proven, Rob, now
centre-forward.
That he can centre-forward, and he's a scrappy. Is that the right word? He's a scorer.
Yeah,
he's a scorer.
Goal scorer, yeah.
He's a good goal
and they
scorer.
Have mentality, don't they? Yeah, they're different.
Your Defoes or your Ian Wright or your poachers. Mm, that's what he is. He's a poacher. Saying that, his third goal is a screamer from outside the box.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Arsenal, not much to say. The manager got it right against a poor opponent. You know, Smith
Rowe. You were disappointed in Sheffield United, weren't you, Hughes?
Yeah, because I thought...
They didn't have a go, really.
No, I know they've had an awful start, but the last few games I've watched them, and they've been quite competitive. Mm. You know, they've had a bit of a go.
Yeah.
That's why with Heckenbottom, the manager, I'm like, it's such a difficult job to build a new team. He's got all these injuries. He's jumped the league. Maybe not expected straight away. But I just thought it was a good day for Arsenal, and that's what you've got to do in it. And my note for them going into the game was... We haven't seen the best Arsenal yet.
No.
And still,
they're right
there.
Up there, aren't
they're
they?
They're right there.
Yeah.
They're right there. So good work.
Unbeaten as well, aren't they? Them in Tottenham.
My last shout is Emma Smith Rowe.
Yeah. Got
good
some
player.
Minutes.
Got some minutes. Had injury problems last year.
Yeah.
If they can give him more minutes, more games, and be a really good alternative option for the number eight.
Have they got 16 then? Are we starting to say the 16, 17 players that reliable? Because that was the problem last season, wasn't it?
I think there is.
You know, Jorginho, Partey, if they're fit, Kvyat came in.
Tomiyasu's getting more minutes now, almost the first defender off the bench. Trossard, Jorginho didn't start. We know that Thomas Partey's just picked up a blooming muscle injury, I believe.
Jesus with a bit of a hamstring, but he'll come back into the fold.
Yeah, Trossard. Yeah, they did what they did in the summer to make the squad bigger, and days like this was a good example of how that
he's
works.
Got to use these days, hasn't he? Because he's had the Europa League before where you could maybe play some players in the Europa League and not have to worry about Premier League. But when you're in Champions League, Rob, you can't do it, can you?
Yeah,
you've got to go heavy on the Champions
League.
You've got a strong team, and then you've got to be ready. So there might be days in the Premier League we see one or two other players playing. And as you say yesterday, 5 goals, hat-trick for Eddie Nketiah.
Sheffield United relegated already, Rob, after 10 games. The 1 point after 10. They're on course for like 3.7... Oh, 3.8 points.
Give me 4 more games. Give me 4 more games. Because, one, will the same manager be in charge? 2,
can
4
new,
more
can
games.
A new manager
could a new manager
that?
Come in? Well,
I don't
if
think
it, if
so.
At the top end of the league, this guy can go in and do that. I've got to believe down there somebody can go and change. I think they're better than 1 point.
They've played 10 games.
Yeah.
They've lost 9.
Yeah, yeah.
They've conceded 29 goals.
8 of those were in one game against Nottingham Forest. Most of the defeats have been single-goal defeats.
I know.
So they've been in it, Rob.
I know, that's what I said.
And so maybe a different look, a different way, a different voice might just... I'm not going to write them off yet.
So they've got 10 injuries.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've got a lot of injuries.
They're all first-team players, but there's a lot of boys out
so for them. So I'm not going to write them off just yet, Rob. It took them a while to come.
Stick
them a little bit. Yeah, I want to give them a little bit longer. Let's give them another month and let's see how we go.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Okay, so moving along. Next game on our list
The bridge. A bridge too far, my friend. A bridge too far.
Oh, jeez.
Brentford went to Stamford Bridge. They've won the last 2 games there. 4-1 and 2-0. It's a Chelsea team that have just come off the back of a good 2-2 draw with Arsenal for 77 minutes. Looked
really good.
I think we saw a glimpse of what the future could look like. A couple of mistakes and a little bit of bad game management. 2-2 draw, but a good feel. I think we all thought a Chelsea team that can win against Brentford and start putting a bit of a run together and start the progression that we all feel Pochettino's starting to have. Mm. Obviously, it didn't go like that.
No, I think there's a couple of obvious observations to have now, Rob, really, isn't it?
After 10 games, yeah?
I think so. I think we know for sure now that the striker position is still a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a big problem.
You know, we've still got erratic forwards around the central player in Raheem Sterling, who I'm a fan of, really, but his finishing is erratic.
Yeah.
Mikhailo Mudryk was out.
He didn't play, did he?
Injury.
Yeah, Medawecki's played.
Medawecki was disappointing.
Yeah, he didn't get in the game much.
Cole Palmer is class.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about him. Yeah. He's first on the team sheet for me and the attacking players. You know, Enzo was out as well. So again, 1, 2, 3.
Nicholas Jackson started, didn't he? Came in and played. Yeah. First game for a month, first start for a month.
And the goalkeeper for me, Robert Sanchez, is not the answer. He's not up to the level that Chelsea want to get to.
Okay, priorities. You're Pochettino. Where's your priority? Number nine. Is it number nine? We've got Broglie to come back. We've got Nkunku to come back.
I don't think we can make a conclusion yet on that.
So we'll wait for those guys to come back and get fit. Yeah.
If you want a priority for me right now and overload and just go over the top of anything that we might think, striker, isn't it? Striker, isn't it?
Well, I'm saying if we think Nkunku and doing a good job, maybe it's goalkeeper. Maybe it's Ramsdale that I mentioned. Maybe it's let's deal with that. The defensive players are coming back. I think
Ivan Toney and Aaron Ramsdale.
Does that make it look different?
I mean, it's different, but I mean that's probably unlikely. Arsenal aren't going to. I'm not sure they're going to sell Aaron Ramsdale, but you don't know.
You go and ask the question.
Yeah, you can ask the question. Absolutely. Ivan Toney is an interesting one. I think there's going to be a couple of clubs in for him.
I thought there was really, Rob, at the end of this game, I thought there was a really interesting shot of Mauricio Pochettino surveying the pitch, kind of looking across the pitch and thinking a few of his players and some thoughts going in and a bit like, I think that was a realisation that this is going to be tougher than he thought. I think he got a bit of hope and belief by what he saw last week.
He must know, Rob, from the training ground. Now, he has been saying things like, we're doing everything right.
Correct.
Our data and our stats are really good. It's just the finishing part,
which is pretty fair. But there is a case of that, Rob, and we've both been in the game long enough and both been around dressing rooms and training grounds where training's one thing, match day's the other. I've got to tell you, I went to a Wimbledon dressing room back in the day where some days our training looked like was below pub level. I kid you not. People couldn't control the ball or touch it. And we might be playing Tottenham at the weekend and you're thinking, White Hart Lane. Match day, mate. Different. Absolute different outlook.
You ain't getting that here, are you?
This is a whole different group of players. But what I'm saying is, the training thing and the doing stuff on there is only part to what the real deal is on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock when that whistle goes. And that's maybe part of what Pochettino's got to get into this group. Maybe in training, Nkunku's a brilliant, Jackson's a brilliant finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes match day and he tightens up. He makes wrong decisions.
They've had 3 Premier League wins in 10. They beat Luton, Fulham and Burnley.
Mm.
Two teams,
promoted
teams that are in the bottom three. Fulham are not as good as last year. It's worrying that a lot of these young players, Rob, that aren't ready to fill the expectations that Chelsea fans have. That's my concern.
Yeah, yeah. My concern this weekend was, and we saw a few Chelsea fans steaming out just before Brentford got the second goal, and it was a bit calamitous from Chelsea's point of view, and Mbeumo scores. But my worry, Rob, that I think the Chelsea fans know where they are and what position they're in, and I think they're prepared to give this job patience and time and allow development.
There's a but.
I think performances like the weekend and the manner in which it happened, fans start to lose a bit of faith in that.
Do they lose faith, or do they just like?
It's disappointment.
Oh, wow. This could take a long time. We're not. This is
there's a disappointment, but I think to I think the long term is like it's Portugal. I think if you have too many of those results like the weekend, you start going, ooh, is it all going to come good?
Well, but I'm not putting that down to the manager.
No, I'm talking about where this football club
are,
the group of players.
To the new owners and trying to buy all the best young players and mould them into the team.
And that's the biggest thing, I think, that comes out of this. The ownership has got to give the required time, and if it means more, the required money, to get the right balance of players in this
football
club.
They need some experienced footballers for me.
Yeah, some know-how, Rob.
Been there, done it. Yeah. Whatever, it doesn't have to be in England, but just 27-year-olds, 28-year-olds. Yeah.
You've got games under belt. Who guarantee you 15 goals a season?
Yeah, or just 8 out of 10.
Seven, eight out of ten.
Some of these younger players. I think Moise Caicedo is going to be really great. Conor Gallagher. Is he going to be great for Chelsea? I love the way he plays. I love his energy.
I love his enthusiasm.
But is he the productive quality for this football
club?
Well,
interesting in my thing of Conor Gallagher is, I think Conor Gallagher has the ability to be a goal-scoring midfield player, but I think he's caught between two stools. I think he's been told to be a bit more of a holding footballer
type,
and I don't think he's got the full skill set to be that.
Enzo
can do that. Reverse passes, tickle them around the corner. That's not Conor Gallagher. No. Conor Gallagher's more
Lampard. Box.
Gives it to people who can do a little bit and gets in the box and gets knockdowns and nicks in front of defenders. And I think I think Conor Gallagher's having a difficult finding his identity of who he is.
The manager's put him in different places as well, to be fair.
Yeah, which doesn't particularly help.
I liked him as a 10. He's been playing as a 10 recently. Things are a little bit deeper in this game. But that's a good point. Cole Palmer is the 10, really.
Class.
And he's the one that's going to play.
He looks Rob like. If you make a run, he'll find you.
Yeah. Yeah, he made some great passes in behind, which it was Cucurella missed. Sterling missed one, blasted one over the top.
Yeah,
so, it's like. And maybe that's the way it's going to go, Chelsea. Young players, new team, some good, some
week
bad.
Maybe each week we'll flip-flop. They went in 10th, and I was thinking 10th should be the lowest Chelsea are in the league. That should be the bottom. And let's work at 7, 8, 6. Going below 10th is not good.
Give me some
I'm going to talk to you about Thomas Frank. Three straight wins. We've played three games now since they've come up at Stamford Bridge. They've scored 8 goals and conceded 1. Thomas Frank has got a brilliant ability to set his team up, to understand what their strengths are, made a couple of, not particularly personnel changes, but got a little bit more energy and drive out of his team because he thought they were a bit sloppy. Ethan Pinnock came on and gave us an interview. And up front, I've got goal set in Wissa Mbeumo. And my underappreciated performer of the week is Brian Mbeumo, my friend.
Yeah.
Who scores a goal, who assists a goal, and right now would be a solution for Chelsea from now till the end of the season, a centre-forward who might just get you 10 goals if he was given the chance. And the thing I think is underappreciated about Brian Mbeumo is, when Ivan Toney's playing, we all talk about Toney and Mbeumo's out wide and he's like the extra and Toney's a star. Mm. When Toney's not playing, we talk about Toney anyway and say, well, Mbeumo's kind of holding the spot till he comes back. I don't ever think we quite give him the credit. And I remember speaking to Thomas Frank when we were in the summer series tournament, and he was talking about Mbeumo, and he said, There's more to come from Mbeumo. Mm. He said, you haven't seen it all yet. He said he's a lot better player than he's shown. His goals, his commitment, his drive, lovely finisher of the ball, scored a beautiful goal last week against Burnley. 6 Premier League goals this season.
In 10.
In 10 games.
9 in 38.
Exactly. Good numbers. Good numbers.
Improving.
Yeah.
Improving. Listen, I like the shout because I like him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've mentioned him a few times before. He's got a lovely left foot. Mm. He's got an eye for goal. He can play wide. He'll run back and defend.
Yeah, he plays wide if he has to and do a job.
Yeah, it's a good shout. He is underappreciated. Yeah. He's a really good player. French player, 24 years of age. Mm. Can do a little bit of everything. Yeah, it's interesting. Because Ivan Toney, I think that the talk is that he's going to leave.
Yeah, Chelsea might be one of those who...
Maybe Chelsea is talking about Spurs, but I don't think they need to do anything like that. Arsenal.
Mm. Mm.
So Brentford is a good story.
Yeah.
They're a good story of mentality.
They've got a great manager, my friend.
I love their midfield of Jensen, Norgaard, Jenelt. Yeah. Sometimes Onyeka in there. Three, hard-working, a little bit of blend of quality, a little bit slightly different. Jensen's more of a player.
Yeah.
Norgaard can dictate from the deeper area. The five at the back he does against the big sides, again.
Works again, doesn't
out
it?
Great.
Yeah.
The next game,
Roslev and Hickey in it on the side.
You're going to play a four against not such a great side. I haven't got my list, have I?
Yeah, I've got it here.
They're home against West Ham.
Yeah, so he might go four against them.
Yeah, might go back four.
Four, three.
It's a good story. Brentford's a good story.
Absolutely good story. Yeah. And great. Thomas Frank doing a brilliant job there. Let's move to some other results, my friend, and whiz through these. Wolves 2, Newcastle 2. Really good game. Interesting. Unfortunately, we have to go to VAR, and that got involved in again, didn't it?
After
Wilson. Wilson gets the first goal overhead kick, and then Hee-Chang Wang is going to clear a ball and Cher goes over his foot and does he make contact? We go to VAR. It's like one of those.
Not a clear and obvious error.
Not a clear and obvious error.
I know we differ on that one. From where the referee was, he sees him take a big swing at the ball. It didn't look like much contact, I'll be honest with you.
No.
But what are we doing? Are we refereeing or are we saying, was that a howler? And the rules are right now, whether you love it or you don't love it, is it clear and obvious error?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was. Mm. You did.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where we're at with that.
But Hee-Chang Wang ended up getting a goal back. The turn.
That's my moment of the week. If we had a section on moment of the week.
The turn and the finish past Pope on the near post was incredible.
If anybody, and they may not have seen this.
Yeah.
Please go and look out. We have it on our NBC Sports YouTube channel.
Yeah,
the highlights, extended highlights.
Premier League update.
Premier League update we have as well. Have a look at Hee-Chang Wang's.
Hee-Chang Wang's, yeah.
Yeah.
The left foot turn.
His left
pirouette
foot
check, turn.
Yeah, inside was
incredible.
And I mean,
you get that wrong, you're taking your ACL out, mate.
Yeah, I'm not saying this lightly. It was Messi-esque.
You did say that at the weekend.
I had
to have a moment. I know
the size of that statement.
Yeah, that's huge.
I tell you, anybody out there now listening or watching, have a look at it and tell me that that didn't remind you of a Lionel Messi flipping change of direction with that left foot flick inside and finish. Mm. It was that good. And more, one of my moments of the weekend was that Hee-Chang Wang goal for Wolverhampton Wanderers. Was that make it? What score was that? That made it.
That two, was 2-2.
That was 2-2.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant goal.
Yeah.
I like Wolves right now. And maybe because I've seen Gary O'Neill do the Sky segments about tactical.
Yeah, the Lamina, it was the corner kick, wasn't it, with Neto with the assist, with the header. Got to actually mention Pedro Neto, goes down injured on one of those typical Neto runs. He's on his way to the byline and then he pulls up with a muscle injury back of his leg. And really hoping that that's not too bad. He's had two bad knee injuries. He's had a lot of time out of football. He was just getting himself back to form, leading the league with 7 Premier League assists. We did a little breakdown on him and how important he is to Wolves. So, disappointed for them.
Really good game.
And then today, mate, we've had a couple of good games. I mean, Liverpool had a bit of a stroll against Nottingham Forest, I have to say. Goals by Jota. Nunez got the second. And then Mo Salah, Rob. I mean, productivity for Salah, 8 goals, 4
That's
assists in 10 Premier League goals is just, like, incredible. And the season when there was some talk whether he was going to go, maybe the Saudi offer it's incredible. Right now, how would you lose that guy? And a little mention for Luis Diaz and his parents, mate. Oh, I mean, horrific things we woke up to read about. His parents have been kidnapped. It looks like his mum's been found, but his dad's
still looking for his dad.
So our thoughts go to him and obviously those at Liverpool. And the players obviously did their bit after the Jota goal just to make sure he was in their thoughts. But
and I always think Darwin Nunez scoring for Liverpool is a really important thing.
Yeah.
The more he keeps chipping in with goals, the confidence, the belief.
Yeah.
Then when
it's
he
important,
makes a miss,
is it?
The fans don't have a big, you know...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's still growing into being a Premier League forward, isn't he?
I believe in him a lot, actually. Yeah. And I mean, Jota's just a little diamond too, isn't he?
So
Liverpool, you know, we're not talking a ton about them.
No,
we didn't get a good look this weekend.
14 games unbeaten now at home. Their home form's incredible.
They are.
Yeah.
They're going to be
sneaky.
There. They're going to be
sneaky good.
Yeah.
Sneaky good.
What else you got? Brighton 1, Fulham 1 from today. The Palhinha elbow.
Yeah, Evan Ferguson with the goal first, and then Polina. Yeah,
he scores late, but for me, there's a little throw. And again, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe if our viewers go online and the
have
NBC,
a little look. I thought it should have been a red card.
There's an arm that catches somebody in the face, Rob, in the act of running, the act of trying to, you know, hold off a fine space, and it's a different action to what Polina did. Polina's is a jerky,
it was definitely in like the direction of the player.
Yeah, yeah.
And any time this elbow gets involved, and I know it, and it's funny because I got smashed in the face with an elbow against Fulham. Split on my lip here. It's the most dangerous part. Yeah, and as pros, we always watched out for the flying elbow.
Players hate that, and pros hate the elbow.
And you can subtly do it, and that's where pros, you can inflict some damage. I mean, I thought that was a bit nasty.
We've probably got to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he hasn't aimed it, but you think the other way.
Have
you
been think a red card. Then the rule states it's serious foul play. No, it's not. It's violent conduct.
Violent conduct.
If you deliberately strike the hand or the head with the hand or arm, it's a red card.
Yeah.
And I thought it's a direction, elbow in the face. I thought it should have been red. VAR looked at it, thought it was okay.
Yeah. Well, as ever, he stays on and then gets equalising goal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which is always the case. Aston Villa, my friend, is a good story.
Oh, it's a good story.
It's a good story. Unai Emery will be delighted with the three goals. Absolutely delighted. So McGinn with a set-piece worked routine that scores. Diaby with a beautiful instinctive finish. Lockie with the own goal that makes it 3-0. He will not be happy. And I can imagine Unai Emery in front of those guys, before he gives them one word of praise, will be disappointed with the goal, they conceded. Mm. With Conte heading a ball back, hits Martinez. A bit of a comedy moment. Hits the back of his head, goes in the goal. They win the game 3-1. Another 3 points and an incredible run they're on. But as you talk about coaches and perfection and what they want, you'll be disappointed they haven't got a clean sheet. But Aston Villa, my friend, is a story.
Yeah.
Four goals midweek, wasn't it?
In terms of stories, Tottenham's number one story.
Yeah.
Aston Villa, number two story. You know, we know Arsenal, City, Liverpool. Yeah. We know Newcastle, Brighton.
Second, the way
Villa are playing right now, they're up to fifth, aren't they, in the table? Yeah, but the way they're playing, the structure that you said they play with, it's so good to watch them play. They do a little bit different with their midfield. They tuck in and they're very difficult to mark. They've got good options, Rob, and Leon Bailey can come on and score goals. And Diaby's been a great signing. Ollie Watkins, we know all about him. John McGinn scored a goal today, Rob, from that set piece. That club is cooking. Huh. It's cooking on gas right now, and the fans are loving it. It's a brilliant stadium, Villa Park, one of the best.
Part of the Euros, isn't it? It's going to be part of the Euros.
We went there a couple of seasons ago.
Saw Spurs play there.
That was proper game.
Let's go to London Stadium, my friend. Well, it wasn't a classic. I'll have you know. It was West Ham v Everton. West Ham had played in Europe against Olympiacos on Thursday. Only two of the outfield players have played, so we're not going to give them that excuse and that way out. Against an Everton team that are well set up, well drilled, 4-4-1-1, Doucouré underneath Dominic Calvert-Lewin. 0-0 at half-time, and then Calvert-Lewin, a little bit of magic from a centre-forward, makes something happen, a ball into the box, eliminates two defenders, finds the back of the net, 3 points, thanks very much. And just instantly tells you how different Everton are with a fit and firing Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the team.
Yep, it is. But not just him, Rob. Not just him. The team's better from last year. It's better because of Jarrad Branthwaite's playing all the time.
Yeah,
Nathan Patterson, my friend. Ashley Young suspended.
Yeah.
Mikulenko, I think, has improved a little bit. Tarkovsky's Tarkovsky.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Great Premier League defender.
Loves an argument in a fight.
Yeah. Don't mind that from my centre-backs. James Garner has stepped up
versatile,
a little bit.
Versatile, yeah.
Trusted now, instead of just a Garner Gay in the middle of the park alongside Onana. Harrison, upgrade. Mm. Doucouré, in his best position. Dwight McNeil or Dan Juma on that side.
Yeah.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Beto.
Mm.
I mean, or Shimizu, the Portuguese striker, 19 years of age. They got just a Garner Gay, Godfrey. It's not too bad, is it?
It was a big win today. 10 points, 10 games. Just gets them a little bit away from thing, and there was all the talk. You know, it's a bad week. Lose last weekend in the Merseyside derby. Passing of Bill Kenwright. Talk about the 12 points
that hangs over them.
It was all like okay. Really good, important win. Second clean sheet of the season. you just sense that Dyche is going to make. They're going to be okay.
You know what? And I don't want to. I don't want to flipping chuck this on them. But I, you know, from somebody who's had 3 points deducted, and I don't want to go too much into that now, Rob. I tell you, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare if, yeah. if when you get that you get that phone call that you've been deducted points. We did at Middlesbrough back in the flipping 90s. And we appealed it like Everton will.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And then we got the appeal turned down in the last few, well, the last month or so of the season. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we are doing. Oh, crikey. And we went down by 2 points.
Yeah.
Now, let's wait and see.
Yeah, we haven't been, yeah, we don't know yet.
Decided
yeah.
upon
no,
yet.
Absolutely.
But when the club is just starting to find some traction,
yeah.
maybe, it's
yeah.
still early, and the team looks better, to get hit with a big points back, even if it's 8 or 6 points, that's going to throw them way back into trouble again.
Listen,
so,
Sean Dyche is a man. In Dyche we trust. He'll get enough points. He'll get 65 points, mate, and they'll be safe.
Right.
They'll lose 8 and they'll still stay up.
All right.
Last game of the weekend, Bournemouth-Burnley. I kept an eye on this one. They were talking about relegation, 6 points after 10 games. Bournemouth had yet to win in the Premier League against the Burnley team who'd got the one win against Luton. And I have to say, Charlie Taylor got Burnley off to a great start with a lovely strike, and then Semenyo got an equaliser coming in on his left foot for Bournemouth, and then Philip Billing transitioned from just over the halfway line, beats Trafford to the ball, they get the goal. A little bit of contention this one, and I suppose it's a bad thing we're ending the pod on VAR, but VAR did play a part in this. Jay Rodriguez went through for Burnley, I don't know if you remember, and then he went to VAR because the on-field decision was offside. And then VAR took 5 minutes to give us two outcomes, Rob.
The
line was green. It was in the wrong place. And he was onside. They then
redid it
on the front of his head to show that he was offside. So that was okay. And we're thinking, okay, we ended up getting...
It's not okay, but we got
to the right result and took 5 minutes. But then Vincent Kompany drew our attention to a hand of Chris Meppham.
Yeah.
On the far post with minutes to go, that the ball hits his hand and hits the post, Rob, and that VAR has to look at that, and it has to be a penalty kick.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
The only thing, because his hand is way above his head,
yeah.
but he's challenging another player, Rob.
Mm.
And I'm just chucking, the only thing I can think of is whether VAR thought it would have been a foul. But not foul. I don't think a foul was given.
No.
But were they thinking he's under pressure and it's okay to battle with an opponent?
I really don't know.
Well, I don't know either.
And I really don't want to finish the...
No, I don't want to finish. That's a terrible last comment, Robbie. Are we just getting to the end in under an hour, I believe?
I'm going to talk about Manchester City. I'm going to finish with Manchester City.
Go on, then.
And I'm just going to say, Rob, in the era that
we are... Fair play.
in the era we are, let's just appreciate what a great team we've got. In 10, 20, 15 years...
Absolutely, we are.
People are going to be talking about this group.
Yeah.
Like we talk about the United groups and the Arsenal...
Yeah, and I did the Spanish League and talked about Pep's Barcelona side and different teams. Historical teams that are something special.
Yeah, that leave a mark on a league. That Pep and this Manchester City team look like they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Listen, mate, that's it for this weekend. City have too much for United in the Manchester derby. They pretty much cruised to a 3-0 win. Talking of cruising, Arsenal, Liverpool and Villa all won pretty easy this weekend. But Brentford, they beat Chelsea at the Bridge. They made it 3-3 from Stamford Bridge. We'll be back next weekend, that's Sunday, November the 5th, for a review of match week 11 in the Premier League, where Tottenham actually faced Chelsea, Pochettino, against his former team. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.